So what inspired you to go down the road with the house concert concept?
I did it out of necessity.
Okay.
I back in 2007, I didn't know what a house concert was.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they weren't really as popular then. I mean, people were doing them, of course. I didn't invent the house concert.
I think they're great. I think it's intimate.
Amazing.
It's very chill.
But for me, I didn't even know what to call it. I think I call it a backyard barbecue with BVA or something ridiculous.
Okay.
You know, I had no concept. I didn't call it a house concert. I just said, look, book me. I'll come to your home and I'll play.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea was that, you know, you watch these old movies and there's somebody that walks up to a piano and plays and everybody gathers around.
I think
I
read reference Playboy After Dark, the thing Hugh Hefner
used to do, where he'd
have musicians, comedians that come in and it's just,
yeah.
you know,
and there's
chill.
No PA system and they just play and sing
right.
to a group of people. And
right.
it looks like it's so much fun. I thought, well, I want to do that.
Yeah,
I want to
yeah,
see if
yeah.
I can do that.
Yeah.
And the first year, yeah, I booked 50 right away the first summer. And
awesome.
And then it got up to like 110 the next summer. And then I did that for 3 or 4 years. And now I just have to slow down. I still do 3 or 4 a day.
Okay.
On the weekends.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
I'll go because I can keep the cost down for everybody. I can go into St. Louis, and we can put the feelers out there for my fans in St. Louis and say, hey, would you have them come over? If you do this, it'll be this much. If we can get a couple more, we're going to knock your price in half.
Okay.
You know, I mean, really, just so I can go down there and make a decent amount of money for the weekend and
sure.
come back. I'm going to try to spread the savings, and then they'll have me back again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's and the formula's worked.
Okay.
It's been tremendous. It's
now, have you helped other musicians do this as well?
I have, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, just really out of my blog and
sure.
And but anytime, you know, I've got Channing and Quinn are from Nashville, are a
mm-hmm.
tremendous duo that we have played with us every once in a while. We just sent them up with a woman here in town to do a house concert, and it was an amazing night.
Mm-hmm.
It was an amazing night. And a lot of fun, and I think people are really starting to see the value in that instead of spending time in a bar with people
oh, yeah.
that they don't necessarily know or like.
Right, right.
You know, in an atmosphere they don't want to be
right,
in.
Right, right, right.
And so I think that's still going to be, it's going to become more and more popular.
Sure.
You know.
Now, do the fans at the house concerts, they help pick the set list?
Absolutely. They pick everything they want me to play, I
okay.
let them pick. And that really... Some people are thrilled by that. Some people just say, do what you want.
Okay.
Some people love it that they can say, don't play the freshman.
You know? Really?
Yeah, absolutely, which is fine. I always end up playing it, though, because there's always somebody there that's like, hey, you didn't play the freshman. But the idea is that, you know, there can be songs off an album or a demo that I made years ago that they got a hold of that I have to go back and relearn.
Oh,
it keeps my chops up.
Wow.
Essentially, I have to go back to our first album from 1990 and pick a song like Oceanside that I would never remember. And I have
okay.
to play that for this
but
one
it means
person.
Something to them.
It's a huge thing to them.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean anything to the 50 people that are there.
Right.
But they're happy that their friend gets to hear
but maybe
this song
it represents a memory that they had in
That's
1990.
Exactly right.
Sure.
That's exactly right.
Sure.
And so I'll pretty much let them pick the entire set
okay.
list. You know?
Okay.
And that's, you know, sometimes it runs into, it sometimes it doesn't go well.
Mm-hmm.
Only because, you know, if somebody wants to hear nothing but those songs, it's not entertaining for anyone else. You know what I mean? So I'll get there and I'll go, you know, I'm
sure.
happy to play these. And maybe I'll play a medley of all these, but let me throw in a couple things to keep it entertaining for
right.
other people.
Right.
I mean, you have to be practical about it.
Sure, sure, sure.
No. I think that's another thing, though, that entices people to do it, is the fact that, you know, the Verpipe might not play those songs, but I would
okay.
come to their home
okay.
play, you know?
Oh, so, I think it's a very cool concept.
You know, it's fun. It's good for me.
Yeah.
Keep my chops
I know Drew Nelson does that. Ralston,
yeah.
Rick Bierhorst have been doing that.
Yeah,
so
awesome.
I think it's a great way to see some great music.
It is. It is.
Now, we seem to have a pretty eclectic music scene here in Grand Rapids these mm-hmm. days. What's your take on it now versus, you know, then, you know, late 80s, early 90s when you were coming up?
You know, it was about 3 years ago, I think I did an interview with Grand Rapids Magazine, and I said, you know, I was really disappointed in the scene.
Mm.
It felt like there weren't any clubs. And this was, I think it was right before the Pyramid Scheme and a couple of the new listening rooms came out. It was when the Intersection first moved, and it was
right.
And it seemed like there weren't a lot of really good bands, and it just seemed like or places to play either, you know. And it seemed like the guys like Ralston and Drew Nelson, these other guys that are here and part of our community, weren't finding places to play.
Mm-hmm.
And when you know when I started doing the house concerts, I found a way around that. But I made that statement that I feel like there was the absolute death of the music scene here. And really what I meant to say was that the clubs were not being supportive of music here.
Mm-hmm.
There's plenty of good music. Now it's gotten so much better, and the music scene now is wonderful.
Right.
It's getting so much better than it was even 3 years ago, and I'm watching it grow and progress. And, you know, this guy's like Garrett Bourne's here.
Oh,
you know,
what an amazing talent.
Amazing talent.
Yeah.
20 years old.
Yeah, I know.
Amazing.
Great voice.
And these are the guys that are going to really, I think, make it happen in the second wave for us.
I know we got Don Kinsey here. I don't know if you've had a chance to meet Don. He used to be the guitar player for Bob Marley.
Yeah, you know, sure, absolutely.
Amazing talent.
Yeah, and I mean, there's plenty of great musicians in this town, and I think that, I think we need a legitimate music festival, a really great music festival, that people will travel from all over to come to Grand Rapids to do it. And I know they did it last year, and I don't know if they even did
Prospecto?
It this year.
Prospecto?
What was the music festival we did downtown last year?
There was Prospecto. They started that 2 years ago, and I think the first year was more local band oriented.
Yeah.
And I don't remember all the details on last year, but I agree. I mean, there's so many great talents here, and if there's a way to kind of showcase them and let everybody have a listen of what's all going on.
Yeah, here. I think the problem is that. Whenever they talk about doing that in music and everything, for some reason we try to piggyback it with Art Prize, which is an amazing thing. But I think it's its own thing.
Right.
You know what I mean, when you try to put the music in there as well, I'm not really...
Because they feel everybody's focusing on this event, so let's throw as many things as possible
on
it. Yeah.
And I understand conceptually why organizers would go, especially the music guys, would say, hey, let's take advantage of all these people being in town. I think that's fine. But I think we should do something separate from
I think those people who are interested in art, they're not necessarily interested in music.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
They don't necessarily go hand in hand.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I think Art Prize has done amazing things for
the
city.
Sure.
I'm so thankful that that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I brought friends from other states in and took them downtown to check everything out. But let's do something musically that's away from that whole thing.
Right.
Our own thing. And
right.
I think it could really flourish as well.
I think that that'll happen. I think that there's enough interest.
Think it's bound to.
Yeah.
I mean, they're really, like I said, the music scene has grown and I think it's near flourishing now.
Right. You know? Now, you've also gotten the acting bug a bit over the last few years. I know you had a little appearance in the movie Rockstar along with your song and a couple other things. What took you down that road to want to explore acting?
Well, I had, I originally had done some independent films with some friends in Los Angeles that did okay, Dead and Breakfast, these terrible but fun horror films with all my buddies. And then I just kept in contact with those guys. And on occasion, they'll cast me in something.
Okay.
We need this. And then when the film incentives happened here, I got cast in a couple things that were filmed here. House of the Rising Sun with Dave Bautista and Amy Smart.
Yep.
I got to play a crooked detective in that, which was fun. And then I was putting myself out there quite a bit. And then the film incentives, aren't nearly as what they were. But there's still other opportunities that I've taken advantage of. And it's just that it's fun to do it. Mm-hmm. It's another outlet. It's something to do. It's something to be. It affords me the ability to be creative.
Sure.
And as an actor, real actors, that are friends. Jeff Daniels, who's terrific.
Yeah, I saw you at Meyer Garden with him about a year ago.
Terrific. We actually wrote a song together. He's a great performer and a great songwriter. A couple songs together. But as a real actor, I'm not a real actor like he is, but I enjoy that process very much.
Okay.
I'm a storyteller myself.
Mm-hmm.
I think being a storyteller, I'd like to become that character.
One feeds into the other.
Absolutely.
Sure.
So that's the reason for that.
Sure. Now, you've got something you're working on right now. One Hit Wonder's Got to Pay the Rent. Is that correct?
One Hit Wonder's Got to Pay the Rent. Yeah. We haven't been able to film that yet. My friend Brian Kelly, who you probably know.
Yeah. I've had Brian on the show before.
Yeah. Terrific guy. And terrific.
Absolutely.
And we had an idea when I went and played at St. Stephen's. His kids' school, I played a little thing. We had an idea about a guy like me who had a one hit, and and then decides to go and play a circuit of these kids' schools, but doesn't really get that their kids' shows still emotes in a really, you know, in a really Kurt Cobain-ish way in front of these kids. We thought, that is such a funny concept. So I wrote the script. It's a short film, and we haven't filmed it yet.
Okay.
We were supposed to film it a month ago, but Brian's so busy.
Sure.
You know, and, you know, frankly, Brian's busier than I'm busy, which is like, wow, good for him.
Yeah.
But when we do, it's going to be great.
Oh, good. It sounds like a great concept.
Yeah, I think it was really funny. It'll be good.
So I know your wife's a musician as well. Now, your kids, are they showing musical aspirations?
Both my daughters.
Really?
Yeah, 6 and 2. My daughter Evie is taking piano lessons.
Fantastic.
She's got a great ear already. And Willow May just, you know, likes to be part of, you know, whatever music's going on.
Okay.
Dancer and likes to pluck at the piano. The greatest thing I did for my kids, I think, and parents, I implore you to do this. If you have a piano and you want your kids to not bang on the piano, and if they insist on banging on the piano, just tell them, just play the black keys.
Okay.
Because if you just play the black keys, you can't really make a mistake. It still sounds great. Now, if you got a piano at home, go play the black keys, and no matter what black key you hit, as long as you don't hit any white keys, it's going to sound wonderful.
Okay.
And my kids play the black keys, and it's awesome.
Well, I'll keep that in mind for myself, too.
Dude, I'm telling you. I don't even know what key that is. I don't read music. I think it's F sharp.
Okay. Yeah,
the black
keys
are F sharp, but there's no bad note when you're playing an F sharp.
Okay. Well, hey, that's valuable information.
Anyway.
This is Paul Jendrasiak for Sunday Morning Town Square, and we've been joined in the studio by Brian Vanderark. Brian's the frontman for the Verve Pipe. Thanks so much for joining me, Brian.
My pleasure. Thanks, Paul. This was an absolute pleasure to talk to you.
Had a blast.
Thanks, man.
See you soon.